Today is Easter Sunday, and our scripture readings are from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9, Psalm 118, verses 15 through 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. The message is titled, See the Place. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, beginning at verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, Surely, this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Here ends the prophet Isaiah reading. Psalm 118, beginning at verse 15. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. You answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Here ends Psalm 118 reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Here ends our reading from 1 Corinthians, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 16, beginning of verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they're on their way to the tomb, and they asked one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that the things that are cast, that were cast down, are being raised up, and that the things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That prayer is from the Glycium Sacramentary. It's one of the first known liturgical books of the early church. When I was living in the Boston area, I just reveled in the history of the place. My dad was stationed at Hanscom Air Force Base, just outside of Boston, in the area of Bedford, Massachusetts. One of the earliest memories of being in that place was my brother and sister in the Bedford High School marching band, and they were participating and celebrating the 350th year of Concord. I remember being there as I'd soon be heading back to The Ohio State University for another year of college. Now, while in Boston, when I was able to be there, the other opportunities to soak in the history was fabulous. It was fabulous to me. I had read about the places. I had read about the events that had happened there. The old North Bridge, where in Emerson's 1837 poem, Concord Hymn, he writes, "Shot, the shot heard round the world." It was fired on April 19th, 1775. The bridge I walked across was the fifth bridge to be in that location, and that one was built in 1956. Still, it was in that place these events happened. Of course, Lexington Green, recall what happened there too. The old North Church, with the storied lanterns held high at the top of the steeple stairs. So many places to see where events happened. One time my mom and I traveled down to Plymouth Colony to see the rock, Plymouth Rock, and to visit the recreation of the early village. And at that time, I did not know about the National Monument to the Forefathers. It's just up on top of the hill there in Plymouth. An 81-foot-tall granite statue with a figure of faith, with a right hand pointing to heaven upwards and the left hand clutching the Bible. It's a place I definitely want to go and see. I've been to Fort McHenry, where that huge flag was flown in the dawn's early light on that morning of September 14th, 1814, after 25 hours of British bombardment and those rockets whistling through the air and their red glare, and that flag is in the Smithsonian that was flown over that place. That star-spangled banner still waves. So many places I've been where great moments of history have happened. Gettysburg. Many of you have probably been to these places too. That Arlington Cemetery and the Tomb of the Unknown. The unknown soldiers with the solemnity of the changing of the guards. And that continuous guarding, keeping a vigil there in all kinds of weather. Something about being in places that have moments that have marked history. Out west, South Dakota, in Deadwood, I climbed Boot Hill up to the Mount Moriah Cemetery, and there were the graves of Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane. And as far as I know, as far as we all know, Hickok, Calamity, they're still in their graves up on Mount Moriah there. And the others, all those valiant ones who are buried in Arlington, they're still in their graves. And those we remember buried at Gettysburg, still in their graves. In fact, all across the globe, through all the ages of all time and all places, all who have been born, they have died. And those who have died, their remains remain where they were laid to rest or where their ashes had been scattered. All who have been born either have died or will one day die. All, yes, all, except one, only one. And this is the one who is crucified on a cross on a hill outside of the city of Jerusalem. Crucified with a plaque above his head which said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The Roman executioners, they cast lots for his clothing. And as the other two being crucified had their legs broken to hasten their deaths, when they came to Jesus, the Roman executioners found him already dead. A soldier took a spear and with the sharp point pierced through the side from under the ribs up and into the heart. Soldiers were well aware of human anatomy. The scriptures of John chapter 19 describe the flow of water and blood, indicating the piercing of the pericardium, the fluid-filled sac that surrounds the heart. And the reason for piercing Jesus was to be absolutely sure he was dead, which piercing the heart would indeed accomplish. Jesus died. He was placed in the tomb, a nearby tomb. Make no mistake, Jesus is most definitely dead, as the other 10,000 or so Jews, the historian Josephus writes, that Roman rule crucified. Other sources say that up to 250,000 Jews were crucified by Rome through the years. Thousands upon thousands crucified, dead, and buried. Jesus was crucified on Friday with his body taken down from the cross in the late afternoon. Burial preparations were rushed to have him laid in the tomb before the Passover Sabbath began. Remember, the Sabbath begins with the sundown on Friday evening. So all the burial activities had to be accomplished. It was still enough time to close the tomb and return home or to where they were staying in their Jerusalem area before sundown and the Sabbath began. Then waiting all day Saturday, the Sabbath, with grief gripping their souls, their Jesus, their beloved Jesus, crucified. It happened all so fast, seized in Gethsemane in the dark, and just a few hours later, nailed to the cross, and then dead. Little more than a half a day had passed, really, not even a full day, from celebrating that Passover feast in the upper room when Jesus broke the bread. This is my body, broken for you. And Jesus lifted the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. And now he's buried in the tomb. Grief and fear fill the room where they're all gathered that Sabbath Saturday, dead and buried in a rock-hewn tomb behind a very large stone rolled into place to seal the tomb shut. Jesus was dead and buried. So, why are we here this morning? Thousands upon thousands had been crucified, dead and buried. Why are we here? Why be here at all? And the answer is found in the sacred scriptures. It's found in several places, but I point this morning to Mark chapter 16, verse 6. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. see the place where they laid him. Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified, he has risen. He's not here. Look for yourselves. See the place where they had laid him. See the place where the lifeless Jesus, the dead body of Jesus, was laid. He is not here. He is risen. The Greek word order in the Gospel of Mark here is even more powerful. And this is the English from the Greek word order. And he says to them, "Not be amazed. Jesus you seek, the Nazarene, the one having been crucified, he is risen. Not here is he." Actually, I switched the words there. It's "not he is here." That emphasis, the "not," is what comes first. Not he is here. Behold the place where they had laid him. That behold, that Greek word behold, is to really grab your attention. It's ideo. It means behold. Behold, he is not here. I mean, just behold the place. See the place where they laid him. It's empty. How do you know he's risen? What is the proof he is risen? Behold. Calls attention to what follows. Behold the place where they laid him. What about that place? There is no body. There's no one there. Jesus' body is not there. And the reason there is no body there, the reason there's Jesus' body is not there at all, is he is risen. Jesus is raised up, just as he told his disciples on many occasions. You can find one of them in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." Again, Mark chapter 10, verses 33 and 34. Jesus is saying, "We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Even with such teaching as this, the wonder of one rising from the dead is just too amazing to really comprehend. The empty place in the tomb is not the only proof of Jesus is risen. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "And listen carefully, for these words pertain to why we are here this morning, why we're here celebrating, and why we gather and worship and celebrate all through the year." 1 Corinthians 15. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved." Let that phrase from that letter really sink in. Let this phrase really sink deeply into you. By this gospel you are saved. "If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain, for what I received I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born." Let's take this apart, this Paul's testimony apart, a few lines of it, starting with that list of witnesses. These list of eyewitnesses. These people have seen Jesus fully alive, flesh and bone fully alive, after being crucified, dead and buried. Risen on the third day, physically, bodily, as the place where the body was laid is empty. Peter and the 12, they saw the risen Jesus Christ. Then on another occasion, more than 500 at one time. 500 at one time saw the risen Jesus Christ. And Paul adds in, you can go and ask for yourselves what he means they're still alive. Some have fallen asleep, but the others, they're alive. Go ask them. See for yourselves. Verify. And at last, he goes on, you can verify the truth. And then James, this is the half-brother of Jesus. He would become the leader of the believers in Jerusalem. And then Paul, and at last he appeared to me. What it means is it was on the road to Damascus when he was Saul, searching out and desiring to destroy all the followers of Jesus. Now encountering Jesus on that road, he is transformed in Christ. Saul is a new man, signified by his name now is Paul. And he proclaimed of Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Paul writes what he preaches is the gospel, the good news which the people have now received and took into their hearts to believe. And they acknowledge the truth of the things that had happened. And this is what saves. The good news. The gospel saves. Hold to it firmly without changing anything. That's what Paul means. What I received, I passed on. He took it in and he passed it on without changing anything. Don't make it any changes to it to make it more palatable. Don't make any changes to it to make it more pleasant and easier to receive. For it would not be the gospel that saves. This is the gospel that saves. First importance, Jesus crucified for our sins. And he rose. He arose. This is a reality. It says, as it was written in scriptures, this is the reality why Jesus was crucified. One of the places you can find is Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Stricken for the transgressions of my people. It was the Lord's will to crush him. It was the Lord's will to cause him to suffer. And through this, the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. Yes, that's written in Isaiah 53. Jesus was crucified and he died for us. Also from Isaiah 53. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Because he poured out his life unto death, numbered with the transgressors, bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. First importance, Christ was crucified for our sins. From Isaiah chapter 25, he will swallow up death forever. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And he rises to life. Psalm 118, I will not die but live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. These are just a few examples of the according to Scripture to understand what was accomplished in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Remember, Jesus did say, it is finished. The redeeming work was fully accomplished with the risen Jesus. With the bodily, physical rising of Jesus, the crucified one. He died and he is risen. That is the redeeming work of Christ. In the 2016 movie, it was released. It's titled Risen. Joseph Fiennes, who also portrayed Luther in that movie, Luther, which we enjoy watching at other times, portrays Clavius in Risen. Clavius is a centurion assigned to find the body of Jesus to put all these rumors to rest. Tom Felton from the Harry Potter series is Lucius, who helps Clavius in the searching. And what the Risen is, this movie Risen, is the Bible account of the resurrection seen through the eyes of unbelievers, the non-believers. Find the body and disprove the testimony. The risen Messiah, Jesus the Christ, he is risen. And the way the movie portrays it, Clavius, after being involved in the crucifying of Jesus, and Clavius personally being the one putting that Roman seal on the tomb that was closed, to seal the tomb closed, don't you dare mess with this tomb. That should have been the end of it. Should have been the end of all of it. He's dead, he's buried, tomb is sealed, closed. However, we find Pontius Pilate now summoning Clavius. The body has vanished. His tomb is empty. We must find the body. The body has never been found. For he is risen. He is risen. There is no body to find in a tomb. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen so much to give you life. What this means for you is that in Christ, you are made new. The old self is gone. All those sins that haunt your conscience, all those sins and things that strangle your soul are forgiven. Let that sink in. You are forgiven. Jesus the Christ paid the redeeming price in full. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Your sins are forgiven. A little farther down, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All these words of forgiveness, you are forgiven. All these words of new life, in Christ you have new life. They are absolutely true. And these words are for you this morning and for all of your life. These words are for you this morning. You are forgiven. You are new in Christ. And they're for you for all the days of your life to come. See the place they laid him. It is empty. And in that is our victory over sin and death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of the chapter, Paul quotes Isaiah 25 and Hosea chapter 13 when he writes, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier I asked you, why are we here this morning as thousands upon thousands had been crucified, died, and buried? It's because of the one who truly has risen. One has risen. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is risen. Death is swallowed up. The sting of death and the power of sin is no more, has no more power over you. Thanks be to God. The tomb is empty. See the place where they laid him. He is not here. And the reason he is not here, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And amen.